Bush on in Dinaway Magani Dug. Beshigo Benesi a quay indigo. Mang in do dame. Ga oza squajime cog and dunjaba. Ga mesqua wako cog. Ninda. Elaine Fleming nindition a cause. I'm still one Thunderbird woman. That's what the universe knows me by. That's what my Ojibwe language teacher, Bob Jourdain, he tells me. And my clan is a loon clan, and historically speaking, a long time ago, before the leadership role of leadership and governance changed because of colonization, we the loon and the crane clans were the ones where the leaders would come from, and the leaders would be leaders of smaller areas. And Tony Troyer's book, he talks about the changing nature of leadership and how the first born son of the chief who was in the Loon or the Ajijuk, the Crane clan, how they would be raised to be the leader. And they say that those leaders, Mei Wen Sha, long ago, were the most generous ones in the whole community. That they were poor. They were poor because they would give away everything because they were to take care of the people. And these leaders of long ago, they also were known to be leaders of smaller areas, like maybe just a community, because that's what they could manage. But as times changed, as we moved west, the Ojibwe people, as we moved west, the people who were moving were mainly people of the Makwa, the Bear Clan, and the Martin Clans. And so these ones had become our new leaders. So Eshkibagikunsh, Flatmouth, he was of the Bear Clan. And so just to say that we have our stories, and, you know, when we began to sign the treaties and new leaders were appointed and leaders began to govern larger areas of land, and leaders were blamed for many of the horrible things that happened, that we had to form a new type of government. So we were working on that, and then in 1934 with the Indian Reorganization Act, we formed under that act, and we, the Leech Lake Reservation, the Cass Lake Reservation, Winnebagoches Reservations, we all formed under, as bands, under the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Incorporated, and we're under that constitution. And so that is just a little bit about our governance. And I'm from Ga Osisquajimekag and Dunjaba, and that story has to do with in a migration when we came here, that first Inini, that first man who came onto Leech Lake, saw a giant leech within that lake. And I want to share a little story that Marlene Stately from Ball Club, and she's another one of my Ojibwe teachers, a woman I greatly admire. And she shared a story about that that giant leech. How it's the mother leech, and she portages up every year through the waterways until she gets up to this little place, this Strawberry Lake. It's just east of Cass Lake, and it's a little round, deep lake. And there, it's the mother leech's nest, and that's where she has her babies. And so there, you know, each culture, each people has its own stories, its own legends. And in our legend, one of our stories has to do with our migration from the East Coast. And they said at one time in this type part of the story that we came from a place that is north of Maine. And we lived there by the ocean. So in the morning, we could watch that sun rise above the ocean. And I just dream about that, about, being able to go there someday and to sit down and think about my connection to that land and to the people who are buried there and watch that sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. And I come from this this place of red cedars, this place now called Cass Lake. And I live on East End. And right now I'm working for Leech Lake Tribal College, and I teach there. And I just want to share a little bit of a story about when I was first hired there. I was dancing at a powwow in Chachabaning and Inger. And I was dancing around, and a woman came up to me and asked me if I had my bachelor's degree. And I had gotten my bachelor's degree when I was in the military, and my emphasis was in history. And she asked me if I would like to teach a course at the college. And I said, sure. And so I was able to teach a course about the Ojibwe family. What an honor that was, because you know what? That made me, you know, I grew up as an Ojibwe daughter with a family, and we practice our culture and our stories. My mom was fluent in Ojibwe, and we lived those lifeways of the Ojibwe people, traveling, ricing, fishing, gathering berries. We lived those ways. And but to teach about the Ojibwe family was something totally new to me. And so in our migration story, it talks about as we traveled from that place that is north of Maine, as we traveled along the St. Lawrence Seaway and over and under the Great Lakes to the place where food grew on the water, that food being Manomin, wild rice. And we drop things along the way. We drop things like about our knowledge about our history. We drop things like our language. And so it was just something for me to learn about being Ojibwe and to teach about a family was something new to me. So my first thing was to read a recounting of the Ojibwe creation story. And in it, they had the word Manidu. And when I saw that word, I didn't know how to pronounce it because I'd never seen it. And I had never even heard or been told the Ojibwe creation story before. And so when I saw this word Manidu, I read it as Manido. And I was getting ready to teach this class, and I was wondering where Turtle Island was because it was also talking about Turtle Island, North America. But I didn't know Turtle Island was North America. So I asked John Morrow. He worked there at the college, and he enlightened me about this word Manido being Manidu, the spirit, and about Turtle Island being North America, where we live. And this language that we dropped along the way, you know, it had to do with the boarding schools. It had to do with the assimilation era, which was what, about 1870 to 1934. And so many of our people, our children, were just taken away legally and forced to go to these boarding schools. I know that's where my mother went to. She went to a boarding school. My dad went to a boarding school when he was 5 years old. And I asked him one time, he said his mom, his grandma was the one who raised him. And I asked him, well, why did she send you away to boarding school when you were five? And he said, because she couldn't feed me anymore. She wanted me to be able to eat. And so he went away to boarding school at the age of five. He was the littlest boy there. And they gave him girl shoes, woman shoes, because he couldn't fit the men's shoes. Back then they would send military uniforms, old military uniforms and shoes for the Indian children to wear. And so I'm really grateful to be able to speak a little bit about my language and to know a little bitty bit about my people and our culture now, and to be able to share that with you all here on History of Leech Lake. Miigwech bizendawi yeg, miigwech miyu.